You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Clement Magnatella Show. It's great to have you with us here on 702.
Hours.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Lucky, you're calling us from Pretoria. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thanks for the opportunity. Clement, I think it is proper and well that the deal has been called off now for a number of reasons. Reasons. One, in South Africa, we've got a tendency to politicize everything. This is a business transaction. So for us to bring politics into everything sometimes distort the whole thing. Gideon Novik raised the fact that Takatso doubted if Takatso could be able to raise the required funds, because one of the risks which financiers look at is political exposure. This deal has attracted a lot of unnecessary attention, such that any business would not want to lose its a sense of credibility just because of these talks that are on the public domain. On the value of Takatso, the value of SAA, the value of SAA at this moment has changed so drastically, such that if you were to sell SAA today for the same value that you had to sell it when it was under creatorship and on the brink of liquidation, that would be an unfair value. So for that reason, at this point, to call off the deal, because the figures are no longer the same. At the time, SAA was worth nothing, but there was a lot of development that took place around it.
Yeah.
News were established.
But is it true? Is it true, Lucky, that SAA was worth nothing, even at the time? I mean...
No, I'm using the word nothing loosely. I'm not saying it was. What I'm saying is that yeah. It was not worth what it is worth.
Now, I got you. Because SAA had properties, there are lending slots that are not worthless if you can lease them. So there are many things to consider that probably were not even properly considered at the time. And I think I remember even the Auditor General at some point noting that the Department of Public Enterprises did not follow a transparent process in selecting even the strategic equity partner. But there were bigger issues as well around how SAA was valued at the time, even when it was grounded.
Yes, I agree with you. But at this particular moment, what I'm saying is that SAA has regained more value. That if you were to look at the offer that was given during that time, you can't continue with this deal. Things have changed so drastically. There's a lot of changes that took place. So you had to reevaluate the deal. But my main concern about South Africa is that everything has to be political. Some of these things, most of the people that are commenting about them on radio have got no clue about them. They rely on headlines. They rely on political leaders, what they have said. They've got no understanding of how business decisions are taken. So it's easy for them to change everything and make it a political game and say, somebody wanted to devalue it so that he wants to sell it to his friends and go and get it on the other side. This is absolute nonsense. Yeah.
Okay, Lucky, thank you so much for your thoughts. Let's hear what the other people think. So one of the things, I mean... This deal has been, there was so much secrecy around it. There were allegations that the Minister of Public Enterprises has chosen this private equity partner for a reason, because perhaps there's some kind of link with the business people who had owned some of the companies that were part of the consortium. Whether or not that is true is another question. But do you think that the minister overestimated his ability to get this deal over the line? Because he thought he would go to Treasury and ask for whatever 2 or 3 billion rand to settle the debt. And then he can go back to the strategic equity partners and say, okay, bring back that 3 billion rand. Because part of the issue here was this Takaso consortium says, no, SAA has obligations to the people it owes money. And Treasury has committed to pay that money. But Treasury had conditions. Treasury said, we're not going to bail you out again unless we can see evidence of this 3 billion rand that the Takaso consortium commits to injecting in SAA. But I don't remember anybody ever seeing evidence that the Takaso consortium does really have 3 billion rand, or at the very least, has the capacity to raise the 3 billion rand. And clearly, the Takaso consortium was not happy now with the new valuation of SAA. So they probably still wanted to buy it at 51 rand. Even when SAA is back in the skies and has been making some profit, that wouldn't make sense, would it? That wouldn't be in the public's interest to sell a state asset at that level of value when it does much better. It's even re-established routes like Brazil. Kustas, you're in Midrand. Good morning.
Yeah, Clement, that 51 rand encouraged me to consider maybe buying Hendrina power station from Eskom. 51 rand. Now, let me come back to Pravin Gordhan. Pravin Gordhan has wreaked havoc, not just only on SAA. You correct it in English. At least SAA was saved, at least now that is out. But he was willing to sell it 51 rand. The real damage that he did was that Eskom, by bringing in Andrew DeRuyter and the Denel, the guys who were running Denel when he took over Iona Clement, they took the intellectual property of Denel. And they went to work for Saudi arms manufacturer. Those blueprints or that IP now has in the hands of the Saudis. And it was under Pravin Gordhan that he could not pursue the case against those guys because they have stolen Denel IP to Saudi. And so what I'm saying to Iona Clement, He hasn't left office. That man has to leave office before we could breathe. He has enough time to fair that damage on SOEs. The sooner he leaves, actually the resignation is taking too long. He should leave today. Then we can breathe knowing that no damage, he's going to make more.
Are you suggesting that there was no reason? Are you suggesting there was no reason to sell SAA?
There was no reason to sell SAA. Look at SAA today, Clement. It's running smoothly without government intervention. So why was he willing to sell it at 51 rand?
But at the time, Kustas, SAA was grounded. SAA was undergoing a business rescue process. There were no operational funds to continue running SAA. So if you needed SAA to have some operational funds so that it continues to run, the money was going to come from the private sector. Government had committed it's not going to continue bailing out the state-owned airline. The position of government was that we need to keep an airline that flies the South African flag. So where was the money going to come from if there was no need at the time? Given the circumstances at the time, if there was no need for them to bring in an equity partner.
But now here's the thing, Clement. The BRPs had not completed their job. Guess what happened? The government injected money on the state-owned that was sitting down. Guess what those BRPs, they turn it around. How much Takaso has put in at SAA today?
Nothing.
I think it's zero. Well, you know why? Because they were looking at this and saying, no, we are not going to get involved until we sign on a dotted line. Takaso cannot say to them, they've put in 500 million. We put in a billion already. Therefore, this month, the way the SAA is because we contributed. No, it was the state that pulled SAA up back into the sky. Today, SAA is a well-running company without interference from him, Pravin Gordhan. Do you know why, Clement? Because whenever he interferes with executives, nothing gets done. So he thought that he is out of his hand. So he took his foot off the pedal, and guess what happened? The executive got things together, and it worked. I'm so glad that he actually took the foot off the pedal. Now he must just resign and leave the other SOEs to other people who can run it. it's on record, Clement, that he is an interference and he's problematic. I'd like to leave it there.
Kustas in Midrand, thank you very much for your thoughts. Sure, let's say SAA didn't need to be sold because it's managed to build itself up to the skies again. It's already flying again, and that had nothing to do with some kind of injection that was offered by the private equity partner. The question, though, is what is going to keep SAA sustainable? What's going to fund the operations of this airline going forward? Yes, it's made some profit. I think it's made its biggest profit in the longest time. Was it the last financial year? I must just confirm that. But the minister himself says the SAA will be able to run itself without needing any government support for about a year to about 18 months, give or take. What happens after that? Are we back to square one? Are we hoping that SAA will be profitable enough to continue funding its own operations? Or are we hoping that there's going to be another private equity partner that's going to see this new SAA that's back in the skies, that's somehow profitable, and say, I'm interested in buying a stake in this company? So what is the future of SAA?
Clem, good morning. This cancellation of this transaction is a little too late. Here's where my problem is, and nobody's asking this question. If they had sold the transaction to Takatsu for 51 rand, for 51% of the company, surely the valuation of SAA was 100 rand, which was always something that we all took issue with. Now, suddenly he wants to wake up in the morning and say, oh, yeah, so we made a mistake. We now have a fair market value of over, whatever, 7 billion rand. There's something that sounds very stinky about the transaction. And as a consequence, I think this one is one of those that's going to require commission. And then you need to look at all the other transactions that have been done in the past to see whether there wasn't this level of bunyofonyo for Moyon. There's no way, I mean, nobody's that silly that they can't see that 7 billion doesn't round off quite nicely with 51 rand. Not at all.
Hi, Clement. I don't know what happened there. I think it's a good thing on the one side that they're stopping this deal with Takatsu because there was too much secrecy around it. It doesn't make sense at all that the whole government minister who's supposed to be acting on behalf of the public decides that the public is not to know what is going on. Too much secrecy there. On the other hand, does it mean that the SAA, if it continues, would require more bailouts from the public sector, from the public purse? I think that the next government, hopefully it won't be an ANC-dominated government, will make more rational decisions about the future of this airline.
Yeah, thank you, Soli. That's Soli Moeng, who may or may not be the Minister of International Relations. Congratulations, Soli. Herman Mashaba announced him as a... Do you call them candidates for the... Because if ex-NSA is in government, then that's going to be your Minister of International Relations.
Good morning, Clement. So just on the issue of SAA and Takatsu thing being called off, you know, I just knew that it's going to be off. I think last week when the finance minister, Enoch Godongwana, had an interview, I think with Samkelo Maseko. So he said something like, aviation industry is very complex. The Dutch airline is owned by Lufthansa. So SAA would have to look into some of these big partnerships. And he does not think Takatsu has that kind of a footprint. So for me, that's when I knew that this deal is doomed. Thanks, Clement. It's David and Alex.
But remember, Takatsu, yes, Harith Partners and them didn't necessarily have experience in the aviation sector. But that's why they brought in Gido Novik, who was the founder of Lyft. And he was a minority shareholder in the Takatsu consortium. because he has got some level of experience. I mean, this is someone who got lift off the ground, that airline. So, but he then resigned because the Competition Commission also raised issues around his company's involvement and issues around competition, given that SAA, at some point, the Takatso Consortium will be discussing confidential SAA documents. How does he deal with that as someone who is also linked to the Lyft airline? So he's now resigned. Where did that leave the Takatso Consortium in terms of aviation experience? Gideon Novick is going to join me for a chat just after 11 o'clock as well. So we'll hear what he's got to say. It's 9:30 after 11 o'clock as well. So we'll hear what he's got to say.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
25 minutes before 10 o'clock. It's the 702 open line. You can call us on 011-883-0702 or send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. We're talking about this deal that has been called off. The Minister of Public Enterprises announced yesterday that this SAA Takatso deal has been called off. And I'm asking, did you see the red flags? Because they were always there in the beginning. I mean, there are many people who raised concerns around the valuation of SAA at the time. Yes, it was grounded because of COVID-19. Yes, there was a business rescue process that was going to be involved. But SAA had additional assets abroad, including properties. But then I suppose we didn't know why some of these assets were not included in the initial valuation, or were they included? Because 51 Rand was the price tag. But the Takatso Consortium said they were going to inject about 3 billion Rand. Did they have that 3 billion Rand? Was there ever evidence that they're able to raise that amount of money? I've never seen that evidence. And that's why Treasury said, we're not releasing any more funds, even that is to settle debt or wrap up this business rescue process at SAA, until we see this private equity partner giving us proof. Giving us proof that this is the money, or this is proof that we have capacity to raise 3 billion Rand. They've now walked away from the deal. What does it mean for SAA? Because you and I own it. If we own it, that means we're also liable for it. Are we going to bail it out after 18 months? Because the minister says that it can push itself for about a year or 18 months. So what happens after that?
Morning, Clement and the listeners. It's CK here in Pretoria. I think the issue of Pravin and the Takatso deal is straightforward. Pravin has been long corrupt, protected by capital and President Ramaphosa for a very long time. The chicken are coming home to roost. There's more that is coming, even on the Transnet issue, on many others. We want to see what's going to happen. Thanks so much. Have a great morning, my brother.
Morning, Clement. Concerning the SAA deal, for the fact that he was still trying to explain it just last week, he was still trying to explain it. So I, and then all of a sudden he wakes up and he's figured out that it's worth more. What was that 51 Rand gonna do in any case? I just want to know, maybe I'm missing something here. Though they were going to take over and make 3 billion or whatever. It doesn't make sense, that thing. He must be investigated and possibly thrown into jail.
It's 22 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
So on Tuesday, we told you about a story of this woman who experienced something no woman must ever experience, had gone to help a neighbor, left an 11-month-old child with her father, that's their daughter, and when she came back later, she realized that the child had been raped. Long story short, the dad confessed to the rape, and she opened the case, and after opening a case, the family, he was sentenced to 2 terms in prison, and the family attacked her for opening a case against the man who was providing for the family. So we spoke about just sometimes the toxicity in our families that lead to them wanting to bury these things. And a lot of you shared your stories. Some of you contacted me privately and asked that I connect you to this woman so that you can assist in some way, because she doesn't have anybody now. Her own family is angry at her for having opened a case against a man who raped her daughter. But also the man who used to take care of her and the same and the very daughter is now in jail. I recorded an interview with her this morning, and I'm going to play it for you. I just want to warn you, though, for sensitive listeners, it's quite graphic, because she does explain how the baby is doing and what happened when she found the baby. So I just, if you are too sensitive, I want you to be aware that this is a little graphic. But she also tells us why she felt the need to risk it all and open the case, even when the man was threatening to kill her, even when her own family was threatening to cut her off, because she just wanted justice for her family. So in the interview, she speaks in Sesotho Sepedi. So I'm going to try and translate that for you. So bear with us. I will play. I asked her questions in English. I did tell her she must speak in the language she's comfortable in. And she responds in Sesotho, in Sepedi, and then I'll translate that for you as we go along. Just please, please bear with us. When did you realize that your 11-month-old child was raped? When did you realize that? Warning.
He won it last year.
What happened when you, what made you think something is wrong here?
Last year, and then only my kilo was a little bit more. And then it was a little bit more.
So what she is saying there is that there was a time last year when the neighbor asked her to come and help her prepare for an event that she was having. And that was in the evening. And I told, she says in that conversation, that she then told her partner that I'm going to take the baby with me, you know, because it was overnight. And she says the partner then refused and said, no, don't take the child with you. I will stay with the child. I'll stay with the baby. You go and help your neighbors. So that's what she says there in the beginning. What did you see on the child that, that made you think, oh, this was rape?
And then
So here she says, later on, I arrived home and I found the baby lying naked on her chest with her bottoms exposed. I made the conclusion right there that she had been raped because there was blood and I could see some semen all over, and she was also cold. This 11-month-old baby was cold. She says in the clip that I then said, we need to take her to the hospital. And the partner said, no, let's rather go to the neighbors instead. And when we got there, he apologized, saying he didn't know what had gone into his mind to the point where he ended up raping this child. So,
okay, I. Last year, and then I'm not sure what the other people think.
When he took out the knife, was he threatening to kill you if you're going to open a case? So after the sentencing, let me just explain what she says there, and then we'll talk about what happened after the sentencing. So she says the husband confessed, I mean the dad, the father of the child confessed that I'm the one that raped the child. And then he even apologized to the neighbors and to her. But when they got home, she says, the father of this child took out a knife and asked, are you forgiving me or not? Or are you going to open a case against me? So he was threatening to kill her if she opens a case against him for rape. And she says that I told him that I do forgive him. Because I could see that he wanted to kill me. So I asked him to give me money so that I can go home. But instead, I went to the police station. I opened a case, and that's when he was arrested. So that's the risk that she took. After the sentencing on the 8th, he was given two life sentences. You then went to your family, your mom and your brother. You told them that that man has been handed two life sentences. And then what happened? What did they do to you? So she explains there that after the father of the child was sentenced to two life terms, she goes home, she tells her own mother and also her younger brother. And as soon as she tells them, she says, I could notice that my mom's face changed and they were unhappy with me. And my mom said, how could you do that? You know that that person was the provider. In fact, that person was even owing me money because apparently they were in a Stockville together. So she says that her own mother and the brother were so angry at her that they beat her up and they hurt her because they were not happy with the fact that she had gone ahead and opened the case against this man. So they had tried before to say, go withdraw this case. And she refused and refused. She ended up in hospital because of the bruises, because of the assault by her own mother and her own brother. No, Hubetse Mokai, oh, you ended up in hospital. How did they injure you? Yeah, so this is where she's just explaining where she was hurt, how she ended up in hospital. And she was just telling me that I'll even send you the pictures of how injured I was. Why were they angry? Why were they angry? Was it because this man was the provider? Why were they so angry that they wanted to beat you up? So she explains there that they had tried to get me to withdraw this case. I didn't do it. And I would tell them that, yes, I will withdraw it. But she would secretly go to court and continue to testify against this man. And she confirms there that this man was a provider in the family. That's why the family was against opening the case. If this man is the one that was taking care of you and your child, are you employed? Like, who takes care of you now? Because your own family is not happy with you because you had opened a case against him and he's now in jail.
Oh, well, I don't know how to and then I keep it 350. And then Mama can answer a whole lot of money. And then I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I keep it 350. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it.
So she has no, she's unemployed. She says she depends on the 350 unemployment grant. She currently has no source of income because the mother has now deserted her together with the brother. Her own partner, who was the father of this child, is also in jail. So basically, she's relying on that 350 unemployment grant. Some of our listeners, I know, contacted me. They asked for your number. I gave them your number. I know some of them have sent you some money. What were you able to do with that money? Was it able to help you and the kids, especially the little one? Because now you can't even say you rely on the family because that family, they attacked you.
Yes.
Okay. How is the little kid, the 11-month-old, that child who was raped, Ujuang Yena, how is she doing?
Yeah, no sharpening. No sharpening.
And how do you feel as a mom? I mean, witnessing that for your child and you watching your child grow like that. Yeah, so she says she's struggling with accepting. When I'm asking about how the child is doing, she says, well, she's okay, but I'm worried about how she's going to deal with this later on. I did ask her about some listeners who got in touch with her. She says she was able to buy some food with the money that was actually sent to her. Where do you think you got that bravery to, even though you could have lost your life, to just go and open a case because you wanted to see justice?
Hey, because of only one how like only the one that come over to come walla or with special. So whatever the situation is, like whatever the mutum mutra will like it or whatever. Na balance tiki tono ibula. Limo wan chan support, limo nta dira ini. Mas tiki tono ibula kay.
Your mom and your brother are appearing in court this morning for assaulting you. I know you're on your way to court now. How do you feel about what's happening now to them? Do you want to see them go to jail? What are you hoping for?
No, mama ka ke motswadi like and ha ngkhudisa nna ke go tsike matshalo e kantho a dirileng ko nna ke a ikushisa. So at least ke motlose a tswe go tong kong a itse o phlo ba hae le nna ke tso phlo ba ka le bana ba ka.
So you are cutting her off. You don't want a relationship with her anymore.
Yeah.
So she explains that she's like, I just want my mom, she could be released and go live her life. But she says, look, I don't want anything to do with her anymore. I'm cutting that relationship. You know, I mean, we continue to have a longer conversation where I asked, what kind of help do you need? And she says, I just want to go and have a stand. If I can find just a stand for my family, I can build a little shack and I can stay with my kid. Because she was staying with this man who's now in jail. She can't go live with her mother. The mother has decided, I want nothing to do with you because of the actions you've taken to open a case. And I know some of you had wanted to get in touch. So what we'll do is we will link you up with her. We'll try and consolidate that behind the scenes. If you've got a way you think you can assist her, you can give us a call now or send us a WhatsApp voice note. And yeah, let's see how we can help her out. It's 6 minutes before 10.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's 5 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Morning, Clement. You know, the sad part is even at police stations, police would advise you to not open a case against somebody who is a provider in the home. It's such a sad thing, because I remember my uncle's girlfriend wanted to open a case against my uncle for beating her up, and she was told, is he the provider? She was asked that question and she said yes, and then they said, rather go and have a conversation with him and see how you guys can fix this. Yeah, it's the saddest thing on the world. I'd like to say amen to that lady for opening a case against the father of the child, because I mean, the child is more important in this case. Thank you.
Hi, Clement. I think something really important she said while she was giving, or while she was retelling, was that she went to report because she wants her child to know in the future that she tried to protect her.
Yeah.
She had her best interests at heart. And for me, I think that's really important, you know, because we've seen how people haven't gone through these terrible ordeals that are really going to haunt them for the rest of their lives, feeling like the people who were supposed to protect them didn't do the bare minimum. And so I must really applaud her for taking it into her hands and having that in mind to say, I want my child in the future, even though things are the way they are and they might be going through whatever psychological and physical thing that they might be going through, to remember and know that their mother was on their side and really fought to protect their interests. So really, big ups to this woman. She's really strong. Yeah. And I think we need more women like this. Adelaide in Pretoria.
Yeah, Adelaide, I really commend her for that bravery to put the interests of the child first, even when she didn't know what she's going to do afterwards, because she wouldn't have anybody taking care of her and this very kid. Look, some of us, I did it together with other listeners already on Tuesday. We had sent her something, some money. She was able to buy some food for her and the child. And when I spoke to her today, she said, because some of you are asking about some of her skills. So she just wants a cleaning job. She says she's worked as a cleaner for 9 years. So if there's any cleaning company out there that would like to recruit her, please let us know. I know there are lots of calls coming through. There are many people who are calling us now who are committing to assist her. I know some of you are asking for her contact details as well. So the producers will facilitate that. So just send us a WhatsApp. Give us a call right now. The producers will facilitate that. But if there is a cleaning company out there, please let us know. Maybe at the malls or in the offices, if you are able to recruit her, because ultimately you want her to be sustainable. She needs to be able to work and take care of this child that has had such a traumatic thing happening to her. Yeah, I'll give you an update just after the news around the commitments that we're getting so far, because some listeners have been in touch with us to see how they can assist.